1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. And I want to read. Well, I've got a lot to read tonight. Go figure. Who would have ever thought of putting the Word of God and preaching the Word of God? I believe you ought to do that. Come on. Now understand, God's Word, inspired, divine, infallible. But the Scripture breaks the chapters that we have. They were put in afterwards. And really, the way I'm going to read it tonight, I don't believe Paul was quite finished with his thought at the end of verse 16. I believe his thought goes all the way through there in chapter 3. So this, just because there's a division of chapters, don't misinterpret. There's not a division of thought in Paul's mind. So if you allow me to read it tonight, I'm just going to move straight from verse 16 and all the way into chapter 3, but I want to just kind of read it continually. Let's begin 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 reads like this: "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Did you see that? Did you see the classifications of men that Paul spoke of? Did you see how Paul spoke of a natural man, spiritual man, carnal man? I want to preach to you tonight, and I don't mean this title to be trite or belittling in any way, but I want God to help hearts. I want to preach tonight this thought: it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Are you going to help me tonight? Let's lift up our hands to heaven and let's believe God in this house. And I need your prayers, saint. Father, I'm nothing without you, God. I can do nothing without you. But I must have your divine unction. I must have your anointing. I must have your strength. I must have your help. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would anoint everything said and everything done. I ask you, God, Lord, you've been so good to us tonight. You have manifested your presence. Lord, we leave here saying you and your presence have been with us. But now, Lord, I pray, let your word be with us. Let your word go forth. But Lord, let your word be anointed, because the letter alone killeth, but the Spirit gives life. I pray, God, let your Spirit give life tonight. Let your Spirit give unction and anointing. Let your Spirit, God, give that zeal inside of our hearts that we must have to move forward in God. I pray, touch us today in the name, the lovely name, the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Would you shake somebody's hand quickly and tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of God. Beloved, hear me tonight. I truly believe that we have a great problem in our churches today. And to be quite frank with you, the problem is simply this: a lack of spiritual maturity. A lack of divine, genuine spiritual maturity. Someone once said, "Oh, Brother Zane, you really got to be careful. You got to watch out for those sinners in your church. Those sinners are really, they'll really destroy things in your church." I told somebody when they said that to me, I said, "I really don't fear the sinner as much as I fear the insecure."
say amen. It's that person that I really get worried about. You know the type of person. I mean, the type of person that claims to be something in God, but you got to beg them to do anything for God. And then once they do it, you got to brag on them once they did it. And if you don't play the game of begging and bragging, guess what? They blow up. It's a game. It's an absolute game. When I was associate pastor in Corpus, Texas, Corpus Christi, a friend of mine, he's a dear friend of mine. He was a piano player, one of the piano players at the church. I wasn't married at the time, and Sister Erica was nowhere in the picture, and I certainly couldn't. I mean, I can't play now, but man, you sure heard me back. I sure couldn't play nothing back then at all. And every Friday, we would have youth service, every Friday. And I'd have to call them on Wednesday, and it would be a game. I'd have to call them on Wednesday. I'd have to remind them of the youth service, ask if he could come and play for us. And then he'd always say, well, I'll tell you what, give me a call on Friday. And from there to Friday, I'd have to call him on Thursday, laugh at 15 minutes worth of his corny little jokes, and then beg him to be there on Friday night. And if I didn't play that game, I'd call him on Friday and say, hey, are you going to be able to play for tonight? He'd say, do we have a service tonight? No. That person that walks in off the street, they don't nearly affect the service as the person that's been here time and again and declares themselves to be something in God, but holds back when God begins to deal with their life. I remember one time I was there in Florida, and I shouldn't have said where, but just somewhere in Florida, and we were preaching. I was preaching, and on the very back row walked in a whole pew, and some of you elders may not know what I'm talking about, but I believe the younger people will, of gothic people. You ever seen them? I mean, they dress in nothing but black, and they've got this kind of white powder and makeup all over their face. They got black fingernails and black makeup and black lipstick. And I'll tell you what, every last one of us is peering in that back pew wondering what's about to happen. You say, well, Brother Zane, you probably had a terrible service that night. Are you kidding me? As soon as we gave an altar call, the hypocrites got up and walked out of that church. And when that dead wood left the service, God was able to move freely. Say amen. Now, hear me, beloved. There is a lack of spiritual maturity that's inside of our churches today. And I am convinced that we have many in our churches that are babies, that God desires to be spiritual giants. Something is wrong if you're not growing and maturing in the Lord. Scripture gave us categories of people. Can you find yourself there? Did you find yourself there tonight? You ever been to see one of those maps and they say, you are here? You know, if you don't know where you are, the rest of that map's kind of pointless, isn't it? If you don't know where you are on that map, well, there's no way of telling where you can go. And beloved, if you don't know where you are on God's map tonight, then there's no way you're ever going to be able to move closer unto Him. I want to remind you, the first question that we ever see from God in the Bible to man is simply, Adam, where are you? The question that God has for our lives tonight revolves around that same thing. Where are you? This may seem a little bit much for some people. This may seem like it's a little bit maybe too simple for some people. But very simply put, if there ever was a day that you were closer to Jesus Christ than what you are now, very simply put, you are in a backslidden condition. God's Word puts these people in these categories. We put men in categories of rich, poor, big, little, important, no name. God puts them in categories of natural, carnal, or spiritual. Friend, hear me tonight. With the natural man, growth is absolutely impossible. I said with the natural man, growth is absolutely impossible. I once heard of a preacher, and he, He took all of his Sunday school classes and he gave them a little small potted plant and told each of them to grow these little plants. And he said, now for your class, I want you to give it water, sunshine, and fertilizer. And for another class, he'd say, now I want you to give it water and fertilizer, but no sunshine. And every possible category that you could have, he began to tell that class that. I want you to give it, you know, sunshine, fertilizer, but no water. But then there was one class, Brother Green, and he gave them nothing but a dead stick in that little pot. And he said, I want you to give it as much water and as much sunshine and as much fertilizer as you want to. But at the end of the experiment, guess what? No matter how much water and sunshine and fertilizer that dead stick had, it's still dead. It's still dead. You say, Brother Zane, why is it some people ever coming up? I'll tell you why they don't ever come up. Because they never were born again in the first place. Say amen to me, somebody. They never met Jesus. They never had a born-again experience. They never found that crisis situation in their life. They may have taken on a little bit of religion. They may have even taken on a little bit of convictions that they saw around them. But there's no inner life. There's no experience of meeting with Jesus. And we preachers are beating ourselves heads up against the wall, wondering, well, how are we going to get that person on board? Let me tell you something, beloved. You will never get that man on board because he's never been under the blood. And unless a man gets born again, he'll never get on board with what God's doing. I don't care if they got sleeves down to their fingertips. Unless they've repented of their sins, they are not growing in God. They may have been exposed to some sunshine. They may have been exposed to some good biblical preaching. But unless they're born again, they're still in a natural adaptation. Ephesians 2 and 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our mind, the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. It's the nature of them. Why can't I get them to come to church? Because inside their nature, they don't want to come to church. It's not in their nature. I mean, brother, I've sent letters. I've sent cards. I mean, I've called them on cell phones. I've called them on telephones. I mean, if I could telegram them, whatever I got. Why won't they come? Because it's not in their nature. Amen. Who was it testifying? I think it was Brother Michael testifying about how we got out of here at 12 o'clock one night on Saturday. But as he went down past some saloon, he still had that thing cranked wide open. Why are they still doing that? Because that's their nature. Every day their nature tells them to go in that dark hole. Every day that nature tells them to be around that environment. And that condition, if you're born again, you've got a new nature. If you're born again, you desire things from above. If you're born again, you desire a deeper walk with God. The natural man has no activation in his life. There is no spiritual activation in that man that's not born again. He cannot grow. We can scream at corpses all day long. I just don't know why I'm not ever motivated to move closer to God. It's because you've never been born of God. You've been around it. You've heard terminology. You've heard sayings. But you've never encountered the living God. You know how to fit in with the crowd. You know what to do to be able to get by with everybody else. But do you really know my Jesus? Have you really met the man that died for your sin? Have you sold out to him and said, you are Lord of lords and King of kings, and you are able to save and deliver? There's nothing inside of that life. It's motivating. Nothing inside of that heart. There's no spiritual activation. Friend, there's no spiritual appreciation. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Now the word receiveth literally means to welcome. But the natural man cannot welcome the things of the Spirit of God. A natural man can do a lot of things. He can appreciate a lot of things, but he cannot appreciate the Spirit of God. You want to know what a natural man can do? A natural man can sit in that pew. A natural man can look around and say, "My, what a beautiful building that this is." A natural man can say, "My, didn't that trio sing so beautiful?" A natural man can say, "My, isn't that choir so lovely?" A natural man can say, "Boy, these people sure are frail." You know what? Even a natural man can say, "Well, I think that preacher made some sense. I kind of like the way that he preaches." But here's what a natural man cannot do. A natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto him. He may like the singing, but he ain't got a clue why Brother Green ran around this church. Say amen. He may like the shouting, but he don't know why they're shouting. It's foolishness unto him. Hey, beloved, is this thing crazy unto you? Then you may need to get born again. I said you may need to get born again. You may need to find Jesus. You may need to find deliverance. He can't appreciate it. He looks at it and says, "It just doesn't make sense." Hear me, friend. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I love this great way. Hallelujah. It makes sense to me. When I see the dancer come on, Brother Barkey, it ain't on this choreographed junk, but it's the real Holy Ghost. It makes sense to me. And I appreciate it. And I love it. Hey, we need more men and women that are start appreciating when the Holy Ghost gets a moving. We need more hearts that will appreciate when conviction falls in the house. You might as well expect your family dog to appreciate that cello and harp as you will a sinner appreciating God moving on saints. They just can't understand it. Lots of people want to go to heaven, but here's what they don't understand. If a sinner goes to heaven, it'll be the most miserable place in the world for him. Come on here. Sinner, you don't want to go to heaven as a sinner. Now, you'll be tormented in hell, but you will be miserable in heaven. Guess what? You're going to look around, and there's going to be one on that throne that you always refuse to bow your knee to. And everybody else around you, come on, they ain't going to be tooting your horn telling you how great of a job you're doing. They're going to be looking and say, "He's holy, he's holy, he's holy." And that old nature of yours is going to get just as bitter here as it would get over there. And you'd be just as mad here as you would be over there. You'd be looking to have a church split in heaven. Say amen. You'd be a miserable, miserable person. Why? Because you never let Jesus break that old life. I'm telling somebody, it's time you grow up. It's time you realize, "I'm lost. I need something. I need to be born again." What's the missing element? I never got saved, Brother Jane. I need salvation. I need God to deliver me and make me whole and make me appreciate the goodness of God. Say amen, somebody. It was George Whitfield that said, "A rebel would be so unhappy in heaven that he would ask God to let him run down to hell for shelter." He said heaven would be the worst possible place to spend eternity for anyone who is in love with the things of this world. He said hell, I love this, he said hell is reserved for those who do not walk the yoke of God's authority.
authority over their lives. Hallelujah. I love this way. I love getting under this. It ain't burdensome to me. I love it. Somebody said, you in bondage. I said, I'm in freedom. Oh, no, you in legalism. No, sir, I'm in grace. It's the best grace I ever found. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Hey, don't you love it? When the authority of God begins to put his finger on your life. I love it, Brother Green. I love it when God deals with me. Hey, don't you love it? When preachers start dealing right where you are.
I love this yoke. I love this way. It's everything within me. I ain't trying to run from it. I'm a trying to run to it. I wish you'd help me here tonight. I'm telling somebody, if you're still running away from holiness, something's wrong with your walk. If you're still running away from old time sanctification, something's wrong with your walk. Appreciate it. It's foolishness to them. It's everything to me. It's crazy to that man, but it's everything to me. They got folks going down them stadiums. I mean, they paint their whole body, their favorite football team. Call them a fanatic for a change. Just let me love Jesus and say he's everything to me. I appreciate. Oh, I appreciate. I appreciate the movement of God.
Hey, some things we just can't explain to this old world. You've got to get in to really be able to appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I sure didn't plan on it, and I sure didn't think about it until right about now, I guess. Actually, right when I was down there praying on white, come to me, Brother Green. I guess I just seen you run. And then, you know, about the, I guess it's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, come back over to this old church over here and just get to praying all by myself. But guess what? I felt the runner come on, Brother Zane. I took a couple laps around the church and shouted hallelujah. Wait a second, Brother Zane, wasn't nobody else here? Ain't nobody else got to be here. But I appreciate. Oh, boy, I appreciate. I appreciate when God comes on me. I appreciate it means everything to me. You don't understand it, but thank God we do. I said you don't understand it, but you can. But you can if you open up your soul to God. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. He has no activation. That natural man, he's got no appreciation. That natural man, he's got no spiritual appropriation. He never planned. I'm sorry to lose you, but hold on. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because ye are not of God, he said. Hey, is your spiritual antenna up? I mean, are you really tuned in? When you come in the house of God, a spiritual man gets tuned in to the things of God. Spiritual man comes in, sets up that spiritual antenna, takes that dial in his heart, and turns it. Turns it to WORD. That's the best station you ever get a hold of. Say amen. I said, it turns into the Word. He said, Lord, let me be sensitive. God, whichever way you move, and I want to move. God, if you stop it, I'm stopping. But if the river's moving, I'm moving with it. I'm sensitive to it, Lord. My heart is inclined into it. When you walked in this house, were you sensitive to the moving of God? It would be foolish to say that there's no such thing as music right now just because you don't hear it.
In fact, did you know this? In fact, right now, can't catch it, but there are sound waves and radio waves going all through this place. And if you just had the right tuning, you could hear some Southern gospel. You could, if you just listen, right here. I don't know how they do it. They got satellites way up there. But I'm telling you what, if you had a device, you could get everything that's way up there right down here. You know, every time you talk on your cell phone, it goes way up there, bounces from there, back down that other person's ear. How to do it? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing, you got to get tuned in to hear that. Hallelujah, it is here. God is moving. Holy Ghost is saving. God is touching. The reason some of you ain't got nothing yet is because you're not tuned in. Your mind is elsewhere. Your heart is elsewhere. You've done counted every nose you can find. It ain't about the number of people. It's about the Spirit of God. Paul's not saying that man's stupid. No, he's not saying he's ignorant. He's saying he's just inclined to worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 says it like this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know among you anything, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the very power of God." Hallelujah to God. What does that mean, Brother Saint? Does that mean Paul's walking around fearful and weak? Does that mean Paul's walking around scared and trembling? No, sir. What that means is this. And out of everything Paul was afraid of, he was afraid of worldly wisdom. Oh, Paul could have razzled and dazzled. Some scholars say he was fluent in 22 different languages. Trained by some of the best. I mean, son, he's touching that law, blameless. Son, he could have threw out his credentials and made them a mile long. But Paul knew this. Hear me. He knew that in worldly wisdom, it's dangerous. He knows that wisdom can be a two-edged sword. He knows that worldly wisdom from that natural man can start cutting away at what God desires. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's like when things start getting a little tight in church. About that time somebody raises their hand and says, "I think the first thing we ought to do is cut our support for missions." I think the first thing that ought to go is our desire to see souls saved across this world. Paul says, whoa. It may make sense up here, but it's very, very dangerous. Friend, not only did he know it was dangerous, Paul knew worldly wisdom was deceptive. 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world?" He said, you can even have it, but you'll deceive yourself. He said, it's dangerous. It's deceptive. My mercy, worldly wisdom is demonic. Friends, some of the brightest and best minds in the Roman world, in the Greek world, and in that Jewish world were the same ones that put Jesus on that cross. I'm not making a plea for ignorance in the least. I can tell you one thing, friend. There's a day amongst our people. They weren't reaching for that tree of knowledge of good and evil. They wanted that tree of life. They said, Lord, let your light. I'm not making a plea for ignorance. I'm not saying you ought to not do your best. But I'm telling you one thing, beloved. If we ever put man's wisdom above the wisdom of God, we will find ourselves in a dangerous deception. We need hearts again. And I say, Lord, let me be mature enough in you that I lean not into my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge you. For the natural man, growth is impossible. But Paul also speaks of another group of people. He speaks of a carnal man. And in this sense, it's not so much, Paul's not referring to a carnal man in the sense of someone that's just completely out in that world. But in this sense, well, it refers to a man that evidently has made some sort of profession. But he's never matured in God. Paul says, I have to speak unto you as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now the natural man's growth is impossible, but evidently the carnal man's growth, it's impaired. Nothing wrong with a little baby. Don't we all love little babies? But there's something wrong when a baby stays a baby. I'm going to tell you what. That little baby, Kendall, was over at that house the other day. And I mean, she's just, you know, it was eight months. Son, she sits up all alone. Every now and again she'll smile and clap those hands. And every one of us at the dinner table is making faces and wanting her to do it again, ain't we? Say amen. Oh, it's such a beautiful little thing. But if I'm ever back up in these parts of the woods, maybe a year or so later, and she still looks the same, and she still does the same, ain't nobody around that dinner table going to be clapping and smiling. They're all going to be saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why hadn't she grown? Why at 2 and 3 years old does she still look like she's 8 months old? What's wrong with her? Babies are beautiful when they're brand new, but babies were meant to grow. Hear me, beloved. Babies are meant to grow. Yes, there's that natural man. He's never been born again. But hear me, there are men and women that claim to have had something with God. But the tragedy is they've never developed and grown in God. And they're still just as carnal. And their mind is carnal. And their appetites are carnal. And their appearance is carnal. And their attitude is carnal. And they haven't met God. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I fed you with milk, not with meat. Hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. In other words, it says you can't eat what adults eat. You can't handle it. You have to feed them the same little thing every meal. Same little thing. Same little thing. There's some, oh, help me say it, son. Help me say it, Lord. There's some churches that if you don't label the same little thing every single time, they're writing you off the list. Shout at me now. I mean, if you don't name their top three things, I mean, no matter if God deals with you or not, no matter if anybody there's doing or not, if you don't label that little certain thing, then man, it's over with. I mean, let alone getting around to personal attitudes, let alone getting around to loving your brother, let alone restitution. I mean, man, if you don't stick on that little piece of milk right there, it's over for you. Let me tell you something, beloved. This book's got a lot of stuff to say. It ain't just on the outside, it's on the inside. It ain't just on the inside, it's on the outside. It's your appearance, it's your attitude, it's your action, it's your appetite, it wants you to be a holy man. Amen. You know what milk is? Here, this is all milk is.
This is all milk is.
Milk is pre-digested food. Doesn't that make you want to go home and eat a bowl of cereal? Is the grass, whatever else that cow got a hold of, I don't even want to know, and chews it on up, And it gets into one of those stomachs. You've got five of them to choose from. I mean, it goes through that stomach and comes out for you and me. And it's all it is food that's already been eaten. It's food that's already been chomped up by somebody else. You heard about those two cows, didn't you, somewhere out in that pasture? They're grazing away. At that time, this big old 18-wheeler comes on by. On the side of it, it reads, milk! Homogenized. Pasteurized. Fortified. Vitamin A, D, and E added. At that time, one of them cows looks at the other one and says, that makes you feel inadequate, doesn't it? All milk is what somebody else has chomped down and given to you softly. And all some people ever get out of God's Word is a preacher that's already digested it for you, chomped it down, and spoon-fed it to you on a Sunday morning. Beloved, I thank God for every time that preacher preaches the Word of God. But if you think you're going to live in this world of sin off of just three messages a week, you're wrong. You better get a hold of God every day with the Word of God. It's time you start digesting it. It's time you start bringing it in. Lord, I want you to speak to me. I thank God for every time that minister feeds with the milk of the Word of God. But what about some meat? What about some things that you need to get a hold of yourself? Let me just stop and say this. I said this at Mayor Dan, I do believe. If you are doing something, if you're doing something that's so busy and time consuming that it is keeping you away from prayer and the Word of God, let me promise you this. You are on an assignment that God has not given you. I mean, if you're so up to here, you don't have time to get down here and get right here in His Word. You're doing something that God has not ordained for you to do. I mean, let alone, there comes a time where you start eating it yourself. Man, heaven forbid we ever get this place in our church. Hebrews 5:12. For in times you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. There comes a time where you even start feeding others. And a lot of us are a long ways away from being there. Why does it, Brother Green, why does it always have to be the preacher that calls up somebody and says, you know, I was in God's Word today and this little thought come to me and I wanted to share this with you. Why does it always have to be the preacher? The writer of Hebrews said, you ought to be teachers. You ought to really be able to grow up to that place. And you can call somebody and talk to them and say, you know, Scripture come to my mind. You can't do that. If all you ever get is a Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek, spoon-fed message. It's time. You can't do that if your sister... Sister Ima, child. Sister Ima, child, is in a lot of these churches. And she's a big child. But she needs to grow up and start being a mentor to some of these others. Friend, you told me I can read it myself. Thank you very much. Well, then great. And that means you're an adolescent. You know what an adolescent is, don't you? It's someone that wants the rights of an adult, but wants the responsibilities of a child. Well, might as well preach on, son. Verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal, and whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men. Beloved, do you know what causes the splits and the divisions and the strifes and the envies in our churches? Track it back. Look it down. And I'll promise you somewhere, somehow, there's a restricted diet in somebody's life of just a little bit of milk every now and again. What causes, and I'm not here to get into the debate of, you know, was it right or was it not right? All I'm saying is you look somewhere and you'll see just somebody with just a little bit of milk that's got a big mouth and messing up things for a lot of folks. Somewhere. Regardless if it was right or not, whichever side, somewhere. Have you ever noticed, and I got to close. Have you ever noticed how some children get so upset over the smallest thing? Beloved, I hate to bust your bubble, but not everything is a big deal, okay? I mean, if you don't happen to have a songbook at your individual pew, it's not that big of a deal. If we have to cross an aisle to get you one, we will. Amen. If you don't get a phone call every week, grow up. Now, I never forget, Brother Powers. We were preaching way up north. I mean, way up north, upstate New York, and the youth camp was over, and Eric and I. Ashlyn Johanna wasn't born yet. We just had Savannah, and we went over to the Niagara Falls. Beautiful. You ever been there? Beautiful. Go to the Canadian side. Even more beautiful. You know what? I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing this beautiful waterfall. I mean, was it 64,000 gallons a minute or something like that? It is unreal. And you know what? All my little Savannah, and she can't. What? She's 1.5 at the time. All my little Savannah is worried about is the weed that fell out of her hand. Carnal Christians miss the bigger picture. Whew. Boy, it got good and slow here all of a sudden, didn't it? Sometimes you put it in low gear and slow down. Hear me, beloved? Sometimes when you are not mature in Christ, you miss the bigger picture. And you know what? If the Holy Ghost moves and they never get around to your special song, just let the Holy Ghost move. It wasn't anything personal. We didn't try to devise it to keep you from getting up on platform. I mean, it ain't like we're trying to have a respect to person. Just let God be God. Come on here. You got to get mature enough to say, if I don't ever get around to ever singing a special, I didn't get in this thing to get out of it. I didn't leave everything to come into this thing to get back out. I got in to stay in. I got in because I love it, and I'm going to grow in God. And if I ever don't get a pat on my back, I ain't in it for a pat on my back. I'm in it because of the promises of the book. Hallelujah to God! Carnal folks miss God's greater picture. Thank God, friend, hear me. Now that natural man grows impossible. Carnal man grows impaired. But thank God Paul didn't just leave us there. I'm trying to lay out this map. I'm asking you, are you here? Are you there? Now be honest with yourself. Are you really, where are you on this map? Are you right there? There's another place you can be. It's called that spiritual man. And the spiritual man's growth, it's not impossible. It's not impaired. But thank God it is empowered. The spiritual man learns from the Spirit. Can you say amen? This book was written from a perspective of men and women that are baptized in the Holy Ghost. You got to understand that. It's written from a perspective of men and women full of the Holy Ghost. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Psalms 119 and 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. A spiritual man, he hears what the world don't hear. A spiritual man, he sees what the world doesn't see. There ain't a psychologist in Virginia that wouldn't want us on the couch. What do you mean a voice talks to you? Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost. He leads me. He guides me. Somebody say amen.
That doesn't mean he knows everything about God. But Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says the secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belongeth unto us and to our children forever and ever, that we may do all the words of this law. My God, let me be a spiritual man. Let me be sensitive to your spirit. Lord, let me be mature in you. Father, let me be led by faith. Hear me, he learns of the spirit and he is liberated by the spirit. He sees through what men do not see. He is sensitive to the leading of God. The world doesn't understand him, but he understands them. Hallelujah. And they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. My God. He's not just squeezed into a little system. He's absolutely free in Jesus. He's spiritual. His mind is in tune with the Spirit. His heart is in tune with the Spirit. I'm closing. Someone help me here tonight. Come on, I said his heart is in tune with the Spirit. He feels what men don't feel. He sees. He looks in that eastern sky and looks for what nobody else's believe is going to happen. He's in tune with the Holy Ghost. I want to know tonight, are you really in tune with the Holy Ghost? When's the last time you said, Lord, just tune me up. Just get me right. Give me a spiritual mind. Give me spiritual eyes. Give me a spiritual ear. Give me a spiritual heart. It's one of three. And there's not a two and a half. Either that man's lost. Either that man claims to be saved, but he's really not going anywhere in God. Or either that man is crying out, oh God, let me draw closer. Let me have your fullness. Let me be spiritual, God, as your word says. God, give us men full of faith. God, give us men yearning for the Holy Ghost. God, give us men that are thirsty for sanctification. That says, Lord, I want your will and your word. Give us, Lord, spiritual men. That man, spiritual, he walks out that door, Brother Peach. He ain't like other men on that street. His steps are ordered. He walks out that door. He's prayed through early that morning. He's got the mind of Christ, Brother Johnson. He walks out that door, and nothing happens to that man by happenstance. People he bumps into, God ordains that. Divine delays and divine dilemmas, God ordains that. Why, Brother Zane? He's a spiritual man. Hallelujah. He's a spiritual man. He's in tune with heaven. Things can go on all around him. His eyes are still on the prize. His eyes are looking to heaven. He's not listening to this world. There was an evangelist, a Pentecostal evangelist of years and years ago. A lot of rumors and lies got spread on that evangelist. And they came up to that evangelist and they said, If you'll let us, we'll sue these newspapers and you can make a whole lot of money and you can turn around and smear their names for lies because we know it's lies. That evangelist said back to those people, no, don't believe everyone do that. What? They said, why not? The lady spoke up and she said, well, when we were children, she said, we once read of how a dog barked at a queen, but we never read where the queen barked back. A
just looking a little higher. I don't get tied up in all that stuff down here. Don't get sidetracked with a whole lot of that. Don't get sidetracked with little frivolous things. My heart's in tune. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. My heart's in tune with God. These bigger things, Sister Davis, if we're not careful, we'll let the little things of this world prevent us from keeping on the main things with God. There's prayers to be prayed. There's hearts to be interceded for. There's victory to be won. There's camps that need to be pushed back and God's power to come in. I'm keeping my heart focused on the spiritual things. Stand with me all over this house tonight. Somebody lift up your hands to heaven and say, God, Lord God, let me have a spiritual mind, a spiritual heart. Let this same mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. I don't know what attacks the devil's trying to put on some of your life today. But here's what I'm feeling. There is attacks that have come against your life. That's for one thing. To get your eyes off of the direction that God wants you to go. And to get your eyes off of the main thing. And to put your eyes back on carnal things. Don't be carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. Lord, I want to have a spiritual mind. I want to have a spiritual heart. I want to think as a spiritual man thinks. I'm talking to some of us in this house tonight. If you're not careful, those arrows will pull you off track. Oh, I wonder tonight how many of this house will say, Brother Zane, the devil's trying to get small foxes to eat up my vine. But tonight I want God to keep me focused on the purpose and the goal and the guidance that God wants me to get. Hallelujah. There and there. Hallelujah. There's others. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm going to stay focused on what God through the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stay focused on what God wants me to do. I'm going to keep preaching that word, preacher. I'm going to keep believing this gospel. I ain't getting sidetracked with that frivolous argument. I ain't getting pulled into that trap. I'm staying where God, my God, I'm staying where He wants me to be. Can we step up from where we're standing? Can we begin to pray, God, foil the attacks of the enemy against what You want for my life? Come on, all the way from the back to the front.